Welcome everyone to the season 2 finale of The Social Circle. It's time to stay social while being socially distant, of course. As usual, you know what time we be on. As usual, you know, we're here to be social while being socially distant. And since it's just me, I'm the lucky one because I have nobody here to talk to. I have nobody here to talk to. So, I'm gonna end this season 2 in a good way. In a very good way. First and foremost, I want to send a shout out to my boy, Easy Flicks. So my boy, he just dropped a nice, beautiful fucking soundtrack, a beautiful music, beautiful song. If you guys have iPhone, he's only on Apple Music. Look up Alone by Easy Flicks. That is EASYFLICKS, Easy Flicks, and the song is called Alone. It's a picture of a handsome dude with a mask, over his face. You know, he just dropped a song a couple days ago. I had the honor and privilege to listen to it earlier. And, yo, I tell you, you wouldn't even recognize this dude. Like, he sounds like, I told him earlier, he sounds like Drake, but he's not Drake. Listen, don't get it confused. He's good, but not that good. I'm kidding, bro. I love you, bro. Listen to his track. That's Easy Flicks, Alone. That's his number one single. This is first single on Apple Music. He's only on Apple Music right now. Hopefully he'll be on some other platforms in the near future. But other than that, let's get down to business. For those who, you know, some of you know me on Facebook. A lot of you don't, but first off, you know, speaking of Facebook, I have a Facebook page now. It's called The Social Circle. You know, what else would it be called? The Social Circle. Follow me on Facebook. That is The Social Circle. The profile picture is the greatest quote in Boston history when Big Papi was helping the city of Boston recover from the marathon bombings. This is our fucking city. It's written in blue and white. Look it up. Click on it. Follow. Send me a message. Any topics you want to talk about. You know, I had mentioned before, I have listeners in Australia and Hungary. Shout out to y'all. Thank you. I wish I could say thank you in a different language. In your languages. I'm sorry. I meant to be prepared for that. I apologize. But yeah. Listen in, man. You know, click on The Social Circle on Facebook. I'm there. We're there. And I say we're there because we're here. We're here, even though we're not here physically, but we're here visually. So, or remotely, whatever you want to call it. Speaking of which, I'm kidding. With that being said, so there's a lot going on in the world right now. You know, we have a new COVID-19 variant, and that's Omicron. And I heard there's another one, Indica or something like that. I forget the name of it exactly, but here's my question to you guys. A lot of questions that have been asked to me by my loyal social circle fans. You know, they would ask me, hey, you know, do you think that in this, in like, especially in Massachusetts, I don't know if they're doing this anywhere else, but like, you know, maybe they're doing this in your hometown, wherever you live at, or wherever you're listening from. Is it okay to require people to be fully vaccinated in order to get a job? And I was talking to someone about this earlier, and I said this exact same thing to her. Absolutely fucking not. Don't force the vaccine on someone. You know, you gotta understand about people's rights. The people have the First Amendment. People have rights. You know, the civil right that violates the civil rights. Me, I got vaccinated because I have family with underlying conditions. That I got vaccinated by choice, not because I was forced to, but it was by choice. I did it. I fucking did it. And I was fine. I'm not pushing it on anybody. I'm just saying, listen, whatever you believe, if you don't want to get vaccinated, that's fine. But that shouldn't determine the fact whether or not you should get a job. I have a friend of mine who we grew up together next door to each other. I remember as kids, we would play wiffle ball in our front yard because our parents didn't let us hang out in the back, and like, or we would play with our WWE action figures, or we would just sit there and talk, you know, as kids. This is us being kids, you know what I'm saying? Us being kids, So, he wants a job. He needs a job. He got really, he doesn't have a job because, you know, a lot of these jobs right now, and it's, you know, in Boston, and, you know, you guys know I'm in Boston. So like in Boston, specifically where I'm born and raised, are requiring people to get, to have a vaccine status. To hell with that. Me, I don't care what the governor says, what the mayor says, what any of these policies say. I don't care. COVID is here and it's going to be here. Hell, when the flu was here, did you require someone to get their flu shot in order to fucking get a job? No. Exactly. So why is this any different? Because millions of people have died. Okay, millions of people die every year, I'm sorry to say. You know, a lot of my friends has been part of that million. People die every year. I understand that. That may be a concern because of the pandemic. Granted, my friends didn't. I don't know anybody that have died because of the flu, because of the COVID-19 pandemic. But don't force them to get vaccinated. Don't force the vaccine on people. You know, as you guys know, I have a fiance who happens to have a 4-year-old son. And we love our meatball. We love meatball. We're not going to force meatball to get a vaccine, because if he doesn't get it, he can't go to preschool. He can't go to fucking, you know, kindergarten or whatever. it shouldn't matter. That's like saying, listen, if you want to get technical, that's like saying you can't have a job here unless you're white or black. Like, come on, man. I'm being real here, dog. This is serious right now. COVID is serious, yes. COVID is taking over, yes. It's going to continue to take over for years to come. This is, I don't even know how many variants we've had, and this shit has only been around for 3 years now. Or maybe even longer than that. Who knows? I don't know. The government's been hiding shit from us for years. So now we want to force vaccines on people who want to work hard and make their money, knowing that there's thousands of people, millions of people that are homeless right now. And to those who are disrespectful to the homeless, let me explain something to you. What makes you think that half of those homeless people are homeless because, not because they're doing drugs, not because not because of whatever, but because they lost their jobs because they refused to get vaccinated. And they were unable to pay their bills. They were unable to pay their rent, unable to pay their mortgage. And that's why they're homeless. What makes you think that? Huh? I'm not accusing anybody of anything. I'm just letting you guys know. Because Massachusetts has, if you really read the stats here, Massachusetts has the highest population of homeless people, of homelessness in the country, in the United States. Granted, yeah, that's been happening for years before the pandemic, but now it's gotten more. It's gotten higher. It's gotten bigger because who knows? Maybe because the majority of them refused to get vaccinated. They had good jobs. They were wearing a suit to work every day, working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, weekends off. And their boss said, listen, unfortunately, we have to kiss the governor's ass. We have to kiss the mayor's ass. If you're not vaccinated, you're fired. Here's your last check. Here's the remaining of your vacation time. Do with that whatever you want to do. There's only so much people can do. There's people that are having, there's people that have kids. And like I said, my fiance and I are fully vaccinated. Our son, not yet. You know, we're still weighing on this. You know, I'm gonna get my booster. My fiance is working on getting her booster as well. But don't force this on people. Let people get vaccinated because they want to, not because they have to. Don't force it on people because they need a job. And to end this topic, because I gotta move on to some more shit, I'm gonna tell y'all this. These new variants are real, guys. COVID is taking over. The reason why I started this podcast is because I had nothing better to do. I was out of work when I started this podcast. And I needed a way to entertain myself, to just put myself out there, because I want you guys to know. And this is why I invite other people to join episodes. I want y'all to know why I do that, why, you know, who I am and the people I hang with. yeah, you know, I joke around, I get fucked up, whatever. But right now, I'm being dead serious. I want you guys to understand, this is serious. Just take care of yourselves, please. Because I don't know anybody personally that has died from COVID. I don't have any family members, no friends that has died from this pandemic, from COVID. And that's the last thing. Knock on wood. I don't want to hear. I don't want to get a phone call hearing, hey, so-and-so died from COVID. So-and-so died from COVID. No. That's the last thing I want to hear. So just please take care of yourselves. I know the mask right now is just for show. I'm going to be real with y'all. It's just for show at this point. The mask has to protect us. We could catch it anyway. A friend of mine caught it recently, and thank God, you know, and yeah, he has underlying conditions. He's a cancer survivor himself. Shout out to my boy, Ski. I love you, man. He beat it. He beat it. And, you know, I happened to be hanging out with him, and I got exposed, and that's why I was out for a bit, but I'm good. I'm good. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done the last episode with Big N. Otherwise, I wouldn't be sitting here doing the season 2 finale episode. Which, may I remind you again, this is the season 2 finale episode. Take care of yourselves, man. I love each and every single one of you that listen to this podcast with loyalty. Australia, Hungary, thank you. Gracias. I don't know how... I feel bad that I don't know your... I unfortunately don't know your language, but thank you. And to my fans in Australia and Hungary and the United States, stay loyal, stay social, while being socially distant. I love you guys. Thank you so much for being loyal listeners. Now, moving on. So, for those who haven't been on watch, on my Facebook page, I had said recently, you know, I talk about WWE here and there. I'm gonna say I'm a loyal WWE fan for the past 20 years. Well, in June it'll be 20 years, because when I started watching, I saw the debut of Boston's own, well, not, he's not from Boston, he's from West Newbury, but Massachusetts' own John Cena. And that was the start of the Ruthless Aggression era. A lot of you listeners might be Attitude Era babies. That's cool. That's cool. That's cool. But the Ruthless Aggression era was pretty good. And, you know, it was good from 2002 until... shit, I want to say 2010, 2011, because that's when I stopped watching for a bit. Hell, I kept watching after Eddie Guerrero died. And, you know, I started watching Eddie Guerrero when I was a kid. And, yeah, I was, like, his biggest fan. I wanted to go to a wrestling event and meet and see Eddie, you know, give him high fives and stuff, like... So it broke my heart when Eddie died. Yes, I cried. I was 4 years. I was like, nah. I was 7 years old when Eddie Guerrero died. Sorry. Had to drink the rest of my water. I was 7 years old when Eddie died. And I feel like ever since Eddie died, that's when, well, I don't want to say that's when the business started shutting down, but it was more like, I look at that product today and like, the only guy I like watching is the guy that I hated back in the day, only because, listen, I'm gonna tell you this. The two guys that I enjoyed watching, actually, there was four guys I enjoyed watching, you know, around the time I started watching wrestling. There was John Cena, of course. I watched him when he started in the company, when he was around my age. And damn, you know, like that kid at the time, people didn't think he would... He would be a sellout. He would be the guy that would sell tickets. No, that motherfucker sold out the arenas, man. People were expecting, like, every night on either SmackDown or Raw, whatever show he was on, because he was on SmackDown and Raw, people were expecting to see John Cena, whether he had the belt on his waist or not. Whether he was champion of some sort or not, they wanted John Cena. And if it wasn't John Cena, it was Triple H. It was Shawn Michaels. It was Ric Flair, Evolution, D-Generation X, Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock. And I watched, man, I watched their last WrestleMania match together. I saw the match with The Rock and Stone Cold, you know, Stone Cold's last match. I saw The Rock's last match, you know, against Brock Lesnar when he lost to him at SummerSlam. And The Rock, like, dropped off the face of the earth because he felt like he decided to go to Hollywood. Let's be real. Let's be real, dog. Come on, guys. But I'm gonna say this though. The WWE product today, the only two guys that I enjoy watching today. Well, there's really only one guy, and this is a guy that, one, was involved in one of my most favorite rivalries in WWE history, and that's the Rated R Superstar Edge and John Cena. John Cena and Edge, that rivalry, I watched it from start to finish. Another rivalry I love watching from when I was growing up was Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio. And that whole shit over Dominic. That was insane. That was fucking crazy. I thought it was real, first off. Guys, like, I seriously thought it was real. And I remember watching an interview with Dominic and... you know, he was in an interview with somebody that was a wrestling analyst. And, you know, Dominic at the time was 8 years old. And, you know, he had taken a week off of school to go to summer and to be involved in that. He had taken a couple weeks off to be involved in that, in that segment, in that whole promo. So, Dominic has said when he finally went back to school and all that was over, yo, his teachers. So, for those who don't know, the whole beef with Rey Mysterio and Eddie Guerrero was, you know, it was like the custody for Dominic. So, like, Rey Mysterio, and Eddie Guerrero. So Eddie Guerrero had a secret held against Rey Mysterio, and they had fought at the Great American Bash, which was the pay-per-view before SummerSlam, I believe. And the stipulation was, if Rey Mysterio wins, Eddie Guerrero has to keep the secret to himself, whatever secret it was. Turns out the secret was that Eddie Guerrero is really Dominic's father. Excuse me. And Eddie, as you know, his motto is, I lie, I cheat, and I steal. So, this is after Eddie won the title. After Eddie won the WWE Championship, and he ended up losing that shit to JBL, I believe. Oh, God. Yeah, I think it was JBL. And then he was tag team champions with Rey Mysterio, and he lost the tag team championship with Rey Mysterio to I believe it was Eminem. And I'm not saying the candy. But, you know, then they started this whole beef because Eddie had turned heel. And that Eddie Guerrero heel turn, holy shit. The way Eddie Guerrero turned heel, like, me as a beginner wrestling fan, that was the greatest heel turn I've ever seen. Like, this is your best friend, like your brother, you know. You're like, his son calls you Uncle Eddie. And it turns out, you know, literally, and I'm going to say, I thought this was real, right? I thought this was real life. This is back when I thought wrestling was real, you know, WWE was real. So, Eddie is on the ramp, and, like, you know, Rey Mysterio and Dominic are, you know, in the ring. You know, Rey Mysterio is Dominic's dad, his real dad in real life. And fucking, you know, Dominic knows Eddie as Uncle Eddie. So, basically, you know, Rey comes out with Dominic. They're standing in the ring, you know, thanking the fans, like, thank you for the support, like, thank you for supporting us, you know, like, the secret is hell, like, nobody needs to know about that. Then here comes Eddie. And Eddie had this book, it was called Eddie's Bedtime Story. And Eddie starts reading it, you know, starts reading chapter one. And then Rey Mysterio gets out of the ring, you know, he gives his son a kiss on the forehead, and he says, you know, basically, like, mijo, I'm gonna go kick his ass. Like, son, I'm gonna go kick his ass. I'll be back. So he's walking towards Eddie, and Eddie goes, Dominic, Rey is not your father. He's not your father, mijo. And no es tu papá, mijo. The truth is, I'm your father, Dominic. I'm your papi. And that's when that shirt was trending. And this is before Eddie died, God rest his soul. Yo, when I saw the beginning of that, I'm like, this is some shit. So Dominic had said, when all that shit ended, right? It ended in a ladder match at SummerSlam for the custody of a child. And I remember Michael Cole saying in an interview in some radio show that was the worst segment. The worst promo he ever, like, the worst rivalry he called in his entire life, like, in his entire career. He hated calling that because it was just so disgusting. Like, a ladder match to determine the custody of a child? Like, is that what, that's what it has to come down to? Like, fuck going to court, fuck on that shit? Like, it's just shit that happened between that, because, you know, there was, you know, like, 2 weeks before SummerSlam, SummerSlam is a pay-per-view for those who don't know. It's the biggest party this summer in WWE. So there was a DCF worker, Department of Children and Families worker there. And Eddie had brought her in and was like, "Oh, I want you to bring me my son." Because, like, he had, you know, the week prior, he had given Ray official custody papers, you know, saying, you know, it was a blue paper, like, "Yeah, you know, the court says that you have to give me my son next week. And after SummerSlam, he's going to be with me forever." It was a whole thing, like, you know, Eddie can never beat Ray. Eddie can never beat Ray in the ring, so he has to beat him in the court. But they had, you know, Ray had challenged him, like, "Let's fight for the custody of Dominic." And the DCF worker was like, "No, until you two figure that out, until SummerSlam comes, whatever the outcome is, it doesn't matter. Until then, Dominic is going into foster care." And, you know, the lady took him in. Yo, that was sad for me, bro. I started crying. I'm like, "Oh, my God, yo. They took that little boy from his family. The family that raised him for 8 years. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's just fucked up, my nigga. Like, that is fucked up." So, yeah, definitely, you know, Michael Cole has every reason to hate that. But, boom. I love that segment. Another rivalry that I enjoyed was, again, John Cena and Edge. Oh my God. What a fucking rivalry that was. Edge and John Cena. It started at Elimination Chamber 2006 when Edge cashed in his Money in the Bank briefcase after John Cena went through hell and was bleeding like damn near blood out. After fighting in the Elimination Chamber, defeating five other guys to retain his title, and then he loses his title to Edge. And then it was a whole back and forth for a few months. You know what I'm saying? So Edge cashed in, beat him for the title. Cena took it back at the Royal Rumble in the next pay-per-view by making him tap out. Then Cena went on to WrestleMania to defeat Triple H and make him tap out. Then I guess Edge beat him again for the title. I forget how Edge beat him for the title again. Somebody can remind me. Maybe old Greg can remind me, or somebody, or Brother Ito as well. But literally, it led to Edge defending the WWE Championship against John Cena in Boston, John Cena's hometown of Boston, at SummerSlam, and he cheated. Like, literally, the stipulation was if Edge gets disqualified, he will lose the title, and you know, he had his girlfriend, his manager, you know, ringside person, handed him a pair of brass knuckles, and he punched John Cena in the back of the head while the referee wasn't looking, and he pinned him 1-2-3. Retained the title. Then, oh my God. Well, this was before this, but Edge actually walked into John Cena's father's house in West Newbury, Mass, and slapped the shit out of his father. He broke into his father's house and slapped the shit out of him. You know, that was a whole segment, and Edge would, you know, Edge just talked about this, like, yo, Vince McMahon was mad about that. Like, "How dare you slap that man's father? Like, what the hell is wrong with you? I didn't tell you to do that. I told you just go in and fucking throw his shit around. That's it. I didn't tell you to fucking slap him." Like, whatever. And he was mad at him. But, you know, that whole rivalry went from Elimination Chamber to John Cena throwing Edge into the Long Island Sound after Edge slapped his dad. He threw Edge into a nasty ass water, you know, the Long Island Sound. And then it went on to a pay-per-view called Unforgiven, which is no longer existent. And it was in Toronto, Canada. So, like, just like Edge beat John Cena in his hometown of Boston, John Cena went to Toronto, Canada, and beat Edge in a TLC match, which was a match that at the time John Cena had never been in before. And, oh my God, he beat him in a TLC match. Is tables, ladders, and chairs. So, like, the only way to win is, you know, the championship is hung up 20, 30 feet in the air, something like that. You have to climb the ladder, grab the title, whatever. So they're both at the top of the ladder. John Cena grabs him, and, you know, he had this move called the FU. Like, for those who don't know, look it up on YouTube. John Cena's FU, or attitude adjustment, they call it now because it's the PG era, quote unquote. Just look up John Cena FU or John Cena AA. And, like, you know, you'll see how he does it. And there was two tables stacked up on the bottom, right? And John Cena picks him up and tosses him with the FU through those two tables. Yo, I remember watching that as a kid. I'm like, holy fuck, dude. I was 10 years old. I was like 9 years old, 10 years old, yo. That shit was fucking crazy, dude. I'm like, yo, oh my God, he's dead. I'm like, yo, he's dead. He's dead. There's no way in hell he could survive that. But anyways, fast forward to today's shit. Because I want to talk about today's product. I want to talk about back then. The point I'm trying to make is today's product, I only want to watch Edge. I only want to watch guys like Edge, you know, Roman Reigns, who actually have done good. I mean, Big E was a good WWE champion, but it's like, I'm gonna tell you something, right? So I watched this past Monday's Raw. I watched Monday Night Raw this past Monday, and it was a boring show. Like, I fell asleep, and then I woke up in the main event, because the main event was wild. I did not want to see. Listen, I'm going to read you something. I'm going to tell you something that, you know, shout out to Corey Graves, and listen to his podcast, After the Bell. He has a great podcast. Corey Graves, shout out to you. But Corey Graves said this on Monday Night Raw. He's a commentator on Monday Night Raw. He said, the road to WrestleMania will kick off with a WrestleMania caliber match. WrestleMania caliber match for the WWE Championship. Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley. And the reason why I emphasize WrestleMania caliber match is because that match should have been set for WrestleMania. I would much rather see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania to see Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar at the Royal Rumble. So now what? Who's going to win the Royal Rumble? Who's going to, you know, and for that person that wins the Royal Rumble, who's going to challenge who at WrestleMania? Here's what I would have done. So it was a fatal four-way match between Bobby Lashley, Seth Rollins, Kevin Owens, and Big E, the former WWE champion, the man that lost his championship at the previous pay-per-view, day one, which I don't even know why they started the fucking new year with that pay-per-view. I wanted a different pay-per-view in December. You know, TLC, because TLC is a December pay-per-view. Like, come on, bro. But Brock Lesnar basically won the WWE Championship against four other guys. It was, so Big E was a defending champion. Kevin Owens was a challenger. Seth Rollins was a challenger. Bobby Lashley was a challenger. And then Brock Lesnar was added into that match, even though he was supposed to be added to a match with Roman Reigns for the Universal Championship, which, who wants to see Brock Lesnar versus Roman Reigns again? Like, I don't want to see that again. Come on, man. I would have much rather saw. But, you know, obviously that had to happen because Roman Reigns had tested positive for COVID-19. And to the Big Goose, to the Tribal Chief, I hope you're feeling better, man. We'll see you on Friday, bro. He was just cleared. He was just medically cleared for competition. So he will be back tomorrow night, Friday Night SmackDown. I can't wait to hear what he has to say about Brock Lesnar switching sides, man. Like, oh my God. He didn't really switch sides. He was a free agent, but I can't wait to hear what he has to say after what Brock Lesnar said on Monday night. So yeah, Bobby Lashley won the fucking Fatal 4-Way match for the number one contender spot. Congratulations, that's great. I would have much rather Bobby Lashley win the Royal Rumble and challenge Brock Lesnar. That is a WrestleMania match right there. Nobody wants to see that at the Royal Rumble. So now my question is, who are you going to make challenge Brock Lesnar? Like, first off, who are you going to make win the Royal Rumble? Second, that person that wins the Royal Rumble, who's going to challenge, you know, are they going to challenge either Roman Reigns or Brock Lesnar? Okay, and whichever, okay. And then who's going to challenge the other one? You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like that. This is what pisses me off. As a fan, it pisses me the fuck off. And like, come on, man. There's guys that love this company, like Eddie Guerrero, like I mentioned. God rest his soul. Eddie Guerrero's ruling his grave right now. It's no wonder half of his family, fucking two members of his family, are in AEW right now. His wife is in AEW. His nephew, brother, whatever you want to call him, his nephew's Chavo is in AEW. Like, come on, guys. WWE, what are you doing? I'll tell you what. In my opinion, the McMahon family have to go. Vince McMahon cannot run this business. Triple H is doing his own thing in NXT. Stephanie McMahon, I don't know where the fuck she is. Give the company away to somebody that can actually handle the product and save the business, because this is why a lot of WWE guys are leaving or getting fired. And when they do get fired or they choose to leave, they go to AEW. This is why AEW is winning. Just like ECW is winning, just like WCW is winning, this is exactly what happens. I was asking my friend, Paulie, shout out to Paulie, you know, that I drink with, what would he think if Eddie was still alive? He straight up said Eddie would go to AEW. And I was fighting about it at first, and I was disagreeing, but like, honestly, when he really explained himself, yeah, I totally agree. Eddie definitely would have went to AEW. Look at guys like CM Punk. Look at guys like The Big Show. The Big Show has been in WWE, has been with this company for years, like 20 plus years, you know. And he decided to leave because he wasn't being treated right. Like, Big Show is a main event guy. Don't put him in shitty ass matches with rookies. And come on, WWE, wake the fuck up. This is why I fall asleep every time I watch an event. And I'm Listen, I'm going to watch SmackDown tomorrow, but I'm probably going to fall asleep watching SmackDown tomorrow. Even though I'm going to be snowed in and I don't have much of a choice, I'm probably going to fall the fuck asleep watching SmackDown. No bullshit. It's boring the hell out of me. WWE is boring the hell out of me right now. I'm thinking of switching to AEW myself. Wake the hell up. Now, switching gears here. I've been a little bit stressed out lately. Especially today. I had gotten some news from my doctor. Those of you that know that I've been working security for the past 6 years. But I've also been having multiple knee surgeries for the past 7 years. Which leads me to my point. My doctor called me today and said, basically said that I have to leave the job that I love because if I don't, I'm going to end up not being able to walk anymore. And, you know, I have to think about, and like, you know, I was taking that into consideration. I could keep saying, you know, fuck you, duck. I got this. Fuck you, duck. I got this. I could keep doing that all I want. But the fact of the matter is, guys, I have to care for people now. You know, I have a family to care for. I have a beautiful, supportive wife who needs me right now. Cause she has her medical shit. You know, I have Carmen. Listen, show your love to Carmen. Carmen needs all the love she needs right now. All the love she can get. She's going through it right now. To my fans, just listen to her podcast, Carmen's Corner. It's wherever you listen to me, listen to her shit too. Carmen's Corner. Yeah, guys, you know, I have a beautiful, supportive wife, and an amazing stepson that, you know, I love. I call him my son, beautiful baby boy. Well, I call him my baby boy, but he's not really a baby. He likes to act like he's a grown man. I have to think about them now, and you know. So, like, a lot of people are against me when I say this. A lot of people that I've talked to today are against me, like against my doctor's orders. But I gotta listen to my doctor's orders, man. You know, I gotta do what's best for me. I also got my grandmother to think about. You know, my grandmother has bent over backwards for me for years and has taken care of me, and I gotta be able to return the favor, and I can't do that if I can't move. So you know, my doctor told me that I have to quit security, and he told me to put my 2 weeks today, but I refused to. But I did give my boss a 4 weeks notice. I told him my last day of work will be February 1st. After that, I'll be no longer working security. It's just a lot of walking and standing, a lot of moving around, and it's too much on my knees. Plus, I have arthritis, and my doctor said, listen, arthritis is one thing, but having no legs is a major thing. So the last thing I want to do is be handicapped and, you know, have people carry me up and down the stairs. And, you know, maybe down the road I can probably get a better job and get an office job like I always wanted to, you know. Where I don't mind wearing a suit and tie every day to work, Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. I'll fucking do it, you know. It's just hard for me because everybody that knows me knows that this is the job that I love doing, and it's hard for me to have to let it go officially. You know, 6 years I've been loyal, I've been committed, I've loved it. I've loved it, guys. You guys ever had a job that you just fucking love and you don't want to leave, but you have to leave? You know, so I'm gonna leave y'all with this. This is a quote from one of my favorite TV shows that I always watched growing up, Law and Order SVU. One of the detectives said, "Don't love the job, kid, because she won't love you back." Nah, I'm kidding. I don't really want to leave you out with this. I will leave you out with this. I'll really leave you out with this. I was fucking with y'all. I only got a few minutes left in the episode. Family over money. Money will always be there. The paycheck will always be there. There will always be money there for you, but your family's not always going to be there. You know. I'm just glad that I'll be able to spend some more time with family that I've been, you know, a lot more time with my family that I've been needing to spend for a long time. And although it's hard for me to let go of the job that I love, you know, another thing I learned growing up, you know, as a kid, let go and let God, you know. Maybe this is really God's plan for me. Maybe this is a sign that he's been giving me for a long time. For those who are religious, you understand what I'm talking about. Like I said, you know, Carmen's been going through her medical shit, and I've been looking out for her. She's been looking out for me. She's been on my side. I've been on her side. We're on each other's side. No matter what we go through, we're there for each other, and that's why I love her. That's why I stay with her. I don't care what anybody says. That's my baby girl. Her son is my baby boy at the end of the day. No matter what happens, whether we're together or not, that's my family. And I love you guys. Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for being loyal. Thank you for being social with me. Stay loyal. Stay social while being socially distant. I love you guys. Thank you so much. I'll see you next time on season 3. This is the end of season 2 of The Social Circle. Once again, stay social, stay loyal, stay safe while being socially distant, of course. I love you guys. Big drink out.